Good day. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail with Mark Amaru Pinkham. This program will explore the secrets behind the Knights Templar and other secret mysteries of the world today. Now here's your host, Mark Amaru Pinkham.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Guardians of the Holy Grail, the program dedicated to diving deep to uncover and expose the truth behind the Knights Templar, the Holy Grail, secret societies, and many of the world's occult and esoteric mysteries. This program, the Guardians of the Holy Grail, was created by me some time ago to set the record straight with hard facts from authors, research, and those with direct knowledge and experience of the mysteries. I myself am an author, researcher, and a Knight Templar of the International Order of Gnostic Templars. Our website is www.gnostictemplars.org. And we are dedicated to reviving and unveiling the true history and rites of the Knights Templar. At our website, you can sign our mailing list, you can receive our monthly e-newsletter. You can also become an associate member. You can even download an application and become a full initiated member. And we are going to have a initiation ceremony on December 22nd, so you might want to keep that in mind. We also have books for sale and correspondence courses and videos to watch and all kinds of things. Now, one of the goals of the International Order of Gnostic Templars is to complete the work of the original Templars, which was to help create a one-world spirituality. With this goal in mind, we are organizing an event December 19th through 21st in Sedona, Arizona, which we're calling Birthing the Fifth World. Now, the Fifth World, as most of you know, is the Native American name for the coming New Age that begins on December 21st. Our Birthing the Fifth World event will take place over 3 days, during which numerous speakers will give presentations about the Fifth World, and including the new civilization that will be part of the Fifth World and the new spirituality. There will also be many purification rites offered throughout the event that everyone can participate in order to prepare them for the most important day of December 21st. We're going to have Native American sweat lodges and sacred dances, vortex meditation, and a special Vedic fire ceremony. So on December 21st, we're all going to head to the vortexes and then we are going to open ourselves up to the energy that's coming from the Milky Way galaxy. And it will be on December 21st that our solar system will be in the most perfect alignment it's been to the center of the Milky Way in 26,000 years. And during that day of December 21st, which is a really empowering, dynamic day, we're also going to be offering initiations into Taoism, where you have a Taoist master that will be present. Also some Uzedi fakirs, Uzedi priests, who will be initiating people into the most ancient order of the Peacock Angel. And we're actually starting that organization, that order, on that day. And it'll be the first time that the ancient Uzedi mysteries of the Peacock Angel will be disseminated here in North America. Now, during the event, we are also expecting the resurrection and revival of the ancient Hopi city that Sedona is built upon, known as Palatquapi, to occur. We believe that many people will be able to see and interact with this ancient city, which has been basically hidden and in the fourth dimension for the last 26,000 years. Now, you can learn a lot much more about our Birthing the Fifth World event and also how to register for it by going to this website, www.2012sedona.com. I certainly hope that many of you listening today will attend this, once in many lifetime event as we come together to bring in the fifth world. Now, today my guest is one of the speakers of our conference, Alfred Weber. Alfred Weber is a futurist and founding father of the new science of relationship between the intelligent civilizations of the universe, which is known as exopolitics. Alfred first coined and defined this word exopolitics in his groundbreaking book called Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe. Now, Alfred has quite a diverse background. He's a graduate of Yale University, Yale Law School, and a Fulbright Scholar. He's taught economics at Yale University and constitutional law at the University of Texas. He's chairman of the Mars Anomaly Research Society, which educates the public about life on Mars. And he is director of Exo University, a nonprofit educational entity for continuing online education on exosciences, psi sciences, and exopolitics. And you can learn more about Alfred and what he's doing and what exopolitics is all about if you go to this website, which is www.exopolitics.com. So, greetings, Alfred. Thanks so much for being on the Guardians of the Holy Grail today.
Well, I'm very, very happy to join you and to speak to the birthing of the fifth world. I'm more familiar with an exopolitical and a futurist terminology, and just to make sure that we're addressing the same page, could you tell me a bit about what you understand the fifth world to be?
Well, the fifth world is the native North American term for the new era. And for them, according to their prophecies, it will be a time of peace and prosperity that we have not experienced, not during the current age, and perhaps not during any age at all. It ends a 104,000 year cycle, which is four worlds or up 26,000 years each. So a huge cycle is ending, and a new one is beginning. This is supposed to, it's basically the results, and what we can expect are what's prophesied in other traditions. The new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth. It's the return of the Christ. I mean, it's been referred to in so many different traditions, and I don't think, Alfred, that the Native Americans are saying anything different than you hear about in these other traditions.
Now, in the return of the fifth world, is there any thread that it starts off with a major earth cataclysm?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, and one that many of us have asked. The Hopis, which is interesting, they seem to change their prophecies. I mean, they did at one point predict a third world war leading up to the fifth world. Most recently, I've heard that, but this was a year or so ago, that they were predicting there would be massive changes, massive cataclysms on the surface of the Earth during a 24-hour period. They didn't say exactly when this was going to be, either before, during, or after December 21st, but apparently it was necessary at that time. Now, I haven't heard that prediction since, so I don't know if that has changed as well. According to the Hopis and the Maya and many of the other native tribes, we do have some control over what happens by basically aligning ourselves to the higher will, cleaning up our act, evolving ourselves. We can help to offset and possibly even neutralize these, what would normally be some major cataclysms. So, and that's what I'm hoping. I'm not looking right. for major happening like that.
Well, I have a very specific reason, as you may know, for asking these questions, because these are issues that I've been investigating as a futurist over the course of the past 38 years since 1973, when I was sort of activated to move into these areas, and I'd like to share with you and with your listeners some of the research that I've come up with and learned as to a positive or a catastrophic timeline for the 2012 to 2013 period. Would that
be
okay?
Well, certainly, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
And just to kind of to frame it, inside the framework of birthing the fifth world and of what you were just speaking about and all of those prophecies, and maybe after I briefly kind of share what I have to say, maybe we can come back and evaluate what I found in light of what these prophecies and others say. Mm-hmm. Well, what I've found in the course of 38 years of futurist research, and these are sort of more from the school of the scientific method, are almost two parallel realities, each buttressed by independent sets of data and personal institutional decisions, one we can call a positive future timeline and the other a catastrophic future timeline. And they seem to be quite specific in terms of the 2012 to 2013 time frame. Now, on one time frame, you get the Earth is hit by destructive solar flares, large meteors, tsunamis, worldwide coastal inundations, and mega catastrophe. And humanity suffers massive depopulation, with as few as 500 million humans remaining, and society is reduced to a dysfunctional new world order of an elite, a global police state, and a technocratic class. Now, the other timeline, the positive timeline, would envision 2012, say, to 2025, more in terms of the fifth world that you were talking about, where Earth is set on a gradual setting of a potential to reach advanced utopian planet status, a virtual Garden of Eden. And I began my research in 1973 when I came across the number of texts, including what we call an early remote viewing by the American psychic Edgar Cayce, who lived from 1877 to 1945. And he, in psychic trance, which is a form of entry-level time travel, he foresaw a global coastal event that included destructive earthquake activity on the west coast of the U.S., disappearance of the southern portions of Carolina and Georgia, disappearance of the greater portion of Japan under the sea, rapid earth changes in the upper portion of Europe, emptying of the Great Lakes into the Gulf of Mexico, rising of new lands along the east coast of the U.S., dramatic changes along the U.S. east coast, including the destruction of New York, upheavals of the earth in the Arctic and the Antarctic, volcanic eruptions in the torrid zones, and a shift in the axis of the earth starting in 2001, along with corresponding climatic changes. And I wrote a book about all this in 1974, which was published in 1974, called The Age of Cataclysm. And your listeners can go to my website, exopolitics.com, and in the right-hand menu, they can download for free a copy of that book. And what that found at that time was that the earth sciences trends were congruent with, quote, a global coastal event of that sort, which Edgar Cayce had remote viewed while in psychic trance. Then, as time goes forward, in 1999, I wrote, as you mentioned, Exopolitics, that founded the science of intelligent civilizations in the multiverse, and that really explored a positive timeline for Earth, that the vision of the fifth world of the positive future, in the same way that my 1974 book, The Age of Cataclysm, explored a catastrophic timeline for Earth. And you can go to exopolitics.com, and on the right-hand menu, click on menu item that says Time Travel and Teleportation, and you can learn how the U.S. CIA and DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, actually time traveled a copy of my book. We had three witnesses to it, Exopolitics, back from at least 2005 to at least 1971, and, you know, where they had my book that I wouldn't write until 1999, in their possession in 1971, and we call this time travel surveillance. So here we have secret organs of government that have achieved technological capacity to navigate the time-space hologram, and which is the hologram that we immortal souls incarnate into from the spiritual dimensions for our present lives. So now let's advance a little bit forward in time. And this is sometime after the year 2000. I meet a colleague of mine, former DARPA chrononaut, that means a person who travels in time space, and whistleblower Andrew D. Bishago. And he used the time travel on behalf of DARPA and the CIA. And he briefed me on a one-time 1971 U.S. DARPA chronovisor. A chronovisor is a time travel device, almost like a TV set or a hologram, whereby you can go and locate events in the past or in the future in time, almost like a TV set. Just to oversimplify it, where you can dial up events in the future and in the past technologically. And this stands to reason because one of the findings of Project Pegasus is that we live in a time-space hologram. So therefore, you can have coordinates, physical coordinates like A, B, C, D, time and space, and you can say, take me to E, F, Y, G, and that technology will take you there and you see an image of what's happening at the other time that you designated. Well, in 1971, there was a U.S. DARPA chronovisor time travel probe of the year 2013 had found the U.S. Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. under 100 feet of brackish water. Mm. That's in 2013. So that is congruent with a global coastal event, much like, and it's congruent with what Psychic Casey saw in his remote viewing. So here I've got two data points, one of which I wrote a book on, another of which I've written a number of articles on, and people can go to exobaltics.com. Now, to read those articles, just click on Time Travel there. Now, in this probe, the whistleblower, Andrew Bishago, says that the chronovisors did not identify absolute deterministic futures, but rather alternative futures in the multiverse. And so this catastrophic vision of Washington, D.C. might be from an alternative timeline that does not materialize on our timeline. But what was really interesting at that point is that in 1971, the defense attaché to that project was one Donald Rumsfeld, who was then serving as a cabinet member to Richard Nixon, the President of the United States. And that one-time probe, and perhaps others, to 2013, could have become the basis for executive authority, which has now gone ahead and built over 170, one figure is 174, what they call deep underground military bases, so that we now have over 174 deep underground military bases that are designated for political and financial elites, for continuity of government, for the entire U.S. Armed Forces, and there's some international underground bases for the international elite and military forces, the entire police forces in the U.S., and the hospital, the technocratic personnel, you know, scientists and engineers, and the hospital and emergency medical personnel are all going to go underground. And this is all based, apparently, on this 2013 chronovisor probe and perhaps others. And these bases actually exist, and you can go to exopolitics.com and verify that. Now, so as the whistleblower, Mr. Bishako, says, if this catastrophic vision of Washington, D.C. comes from an alternative timeline that does not materialize on our timeline, then the entire network of deep underground military bases and socially oppressive anomaly infrastructure being used by the U.S. government and elites to implement this predicted 2013 catastrophic timeline would backfire against the governments and elites. And so that's kind of, and he also points out that in the early 1970s, DARPA stopped and canceled all time travel by children to the past because they found that each time that a child time traveled to the past, the result was different, i.e., he encountered an infinite number of timelines and things were different. So there's big questions about timelines and time science. Mm-hmm. Now, jump forward again to a third data point, and that is that on July 7th, 2010, I was fortunate to sit in on a presentation by Dr. Courtney Brown in his Farsight Institute study of the largest number of military-trained remote viewers in history that was put together to do a one-time probe of, guess what, the year 2013. And in a remarkable coincidence, both the 2010 Farsight Institute and the 1971 DARPA probe, neither of them knew about the other, chose archetypal targets in Washington, D.C., right across the street from each other. The Farsight Institute looked at the U.S. Capitol in the in the year 2013, and DARPA, of course, saw the Supreme Court building under 100 feet of brackish water. Now, what happened is that 39% of the far-sight remote viewers viewed the U.S. Capitol in ruins alongside deep water. Now, that's congruent with the one-time DARPA probe and the remote viewing of psychic Edgar Cayce about a global coastal event. So that my own takeaway from Courtney Brown's presentation is that there's a the year that that remote viewing probe of the year 2013 is firm empirical evidence for the existence of at least two distinct.
Okay, we're back now. Our apologies. We've had some major technical difficulties, and it actually appears as though there are some covert influences out there that do not want this information out that Alfred Weber is sharing with us today. So we are going to continue and try to get it out to you. So if you could resume what you were saying, Alfred.
Sure, sure. Well, Mark, yeah, thank you very much. So just to go back to this third study of the year 2013, 39% of the military-trained remote viewers found a catastrophic global coastal event in the year 2013 with the U.S. Capitol in ruins and deep water beside it, with the Sydney Opera House destroyed. Eight coastal major cities were destroyed, and different scenarios in that. If there had been ET disclosure by that time, well, then it would be somewhat ameliorated with people straggling out of Sydney on foot. But if there had been no ET disclosure, then there would be no Opera House, no people, period. But the good news is that 29% did not find a cataclysmic future and, found a non-cataclysmic future. So that's for me, is evidence of an alternative timeline, and that is a positive timeline. And if we go to what the 1971 probe was, the DARPA probe, according to Andrew Bishago, the whistleblower, this was not a probe of a deterministic future, but rather alternative futures which could not be, which could or could not be the future that would actually occur in 2013. And there was a further finding, and that is that, and people can go to our educational entity called EXO University, which is, whose website is exouniversity.org, and you'll find a seminar there with Andrew Bishago and another whistleblower, Bernard Mendez, where they spoke about a 1980s, being on a 1980s CIA teleportation program using a teleportation technology that was given by a specific civilization of gray extraterrestrials to the CIA. And through that, they discovered over 150, I think the exact number was 153, what they call synthetic quantum environments, i.e., holographic realities that were created by the grays either under the surface of the Earth in sequestered areas on the Earth or about 400 miles out in space. And one of these synthetic quantum environments very well could have been the Earth, a holographic a creation of the Earth in 2013, having a global coastal event. So that it could have been very well that the psychic Edgar Cayce in his trance, that the one-time DARPA probe in 1971 and that the 39% of the remote viewers were actually picking up on a synthetic quantum environment of the grays, that is not the real year 2013. So I just wanted to present that and to kind of take the conversation back to you, Mark, and to see what your comments are in terms of the various prophecies and what you know about the fifth world.
Well, that was great, Alfred. Thank you very much for that. What you just talked about, it did bring up some questions within me. Yeah, I've been, like many of us, I've been on the bandwagon of certain people, organizations that come up with these doom and gloom prophecies, and they advise and encourage everybody to, dig a hole in the ground and stick 2 years or more worth of food and water down there so they can survive. I've been a part of these things over the years, and they've kind of come and gone, and not much has really happened, which makes me feel like, yes, we do have some power. We have some power to change. And certainly that's what I'm hoping for in this particular circumstance around 2012, 2013. When you talk about Edgar Cayce, that's of course, his prophecies are quite well known, and I've read over them myself a number of times, and it seems to me that his timeline for when these things were supposed to happen hasn't occurred either. It seems to me that New York and Florida were supposed to drop into the Atlantic somewhere around, I think 1969. So conceivably, his prophecies are not going to happen either. What I seem to find is that so many psychics and so many prophets, when they tune into the future, they tune into the scenario that would happen, that's supposed to happen at that moment, and that's the way it is. But of course, there's 20 years time between that moment and when it's supposed to happen. And so the closer you get to the time it's supposed to happen, there's a lot of things that can change. We have power to change it. Certainly if you think back to the idea of karma, well, there's different kinds of karma. Your destiny is considered to be what you called your prarabdha karma, but every moment you're creating more karma called your kriyaman karma, and that is influencing, that's changing, that's altering your prarabdha karma. I mean, there's certain things that seem like they need to happen in some form or another, but you can kind of lessen the negative possibilities through changing your life, purifying your mind. There's so many different ways that you can change a negative outlook, a negative forecast, into something more positive. And that's where I'm at right now, Alfred. I really believe that we have the power and the potential to change our future. And like I said, I've heard these disastrous prophecies of the Hopis and the Maya. The Maya recently came out with this prophecy that there was going to be a polar shift, and you know, 2/3 of the population was going to die off. And this was just a year or so ago. But and I haven't heard, fortunately, I haven't heard too much of it lately. And of course, the Hopis have been changing their prophecies continually. So there's, I don't think there's a timeline that's set in stone. That's kind of where I'm at right now with it.
Right. So it would be interesting to then explore with these various cultures. You just mentioned the Aztecs came out with a prophecy about.
Yeah, the Mayans.
The Mayans came out with a prophecy about a year ago of a pole shift.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Now, and so these are. This seems to be what I call the catastrophic timeline. And that's, as I mentioned, this is something that I've been tracking now for about 38 years. And the Edgar Cayce Earth Changes prophecies are not set in time, i.e. when I wrote the book, which was in 1973, all of those predictions were for the future, and the only date there is 2001 for the shift or the pole shift in the axis of the Earth. Well, the axis of the Earth is actually shifting, and it started shifting in about 2001, but it's doing it very slowly. What we've been able to do is to locate these different scientific studies that I think show that there are two different timelines, i.e. a catastrophic timeline and a positive timeline. And that on the one hand, there are cultures and there are psychics and there are studies that say, oh, there is this catastrophic timeline happening, and one of the causes potential causes that has been posited for the catastrophic timeline is that of a brown dwarf star twin to our sun, which has a periodic elliptical orbit at a 45 or 90 degree angle to the ecliptic, which is the orbit at which all of the planets go around the sun. So it's very hard to spot, and that celestial body is going to come into the solar system and get as close as 280 million miles or so, which is about the orbit of the asteroid belt, and that there'll be, you know, a great magnetic influence between the sun and that object, which they call Planet X or has a bunch of other names, and huge solar flares, and it's the solar flares that they're positing for the mechanism for the pole shift and for a lot of destruction on the planet that would happen in 2013. And at the same time, there's a whole other reality, which is the reality of the positive fifth world. And that you're picking up in the scientific studies where there is no catastrophic timeline being picked up, number one, and where advanced extraterrestrial civilizations are saying, we're intervening such that the effect won't be that cataclysmic on Earth. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you have picked up any of that.
Well, my belief in regards to that, Alfred, is that I've been involved with an Eastern spiritual path for most of my life. And within that tradition, there are recognized masters, fully enlightened masters, who have essentially united their consciousness with the infinite. And they have accrued just amazing supernatural powers. And they themselves have the power to actually intercede and stop what could be a fatal, cataclysmic scenario in the future. And so there are those beings right here on the planet now, as well as there are certainly extraterrestrials that also have similar abilities and powers that are much more advanced technologically and spiritually than we are. So I believe that there are those beings that can neutralize what could potentially be a very devastating future, and turn it into a very positive one. For some time, I have been communication with a being that the Azedis in northern Iraq, who claim to be the oldest people on the planet, and it's their deity that they call the Peacock Angel, that in other traditions is known as Sanat Kumara or Enki. I found him in so many different traditions. And supposedly, he is the original king of the world and what the Theosophists call the planetary logos, the planetary will. I've seen him many times. I know he exists, and he's constantly talking to me and informing me about himself, the Azedis, the history of the world, and the future history. And it does seem as though this being, this entity, this consciousness, definitely has the power in his own little finger to change the destiny of humanity, the destiny of Earth, or potential cataclysms in a moment. I mean, this being is the real McCoy, and it appears as though this, if there is any kind of return of a Christed consciousness, it would be his conscious, that he is that being that came here thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, and brought the mundane and sacred sciences, and was considered to be the savior of humanity because he brought the secrets of evolution. And so I believe that there are those the influences, Alfred, that can intercede, that can ameliorate what could potentially be a very devastating future for humanity.
Well, that conforms, Mark, along with research that I found from an exopolitical standpoint, and in my research with representatives of galactic governance councils and other interdimensional forces of an ethical nature that are involved in the evolution of humanity. They state, and these are things like the governance councils that reportedly represent the Alpha Centaurians, the Pleiadians, the Syrians, and others, that as civilizations actually had a hand as a consortium in developing Homo sapiens as a 12-strand DNA light being in the third dimension. And what they state, and this is people can, again, go to exopolitics.com, and they can go to the menu, the right-hand menu there, and there's a link called Galactic Governance, and you can click on that and access all sorts of articles with regard to this. Excuse me. But there, you will find that they give detailed plans for the period 2012 to 2016 by which they intervene. What appears to be headed for a cataclysmic fall is the present world order, which I call the exploitative Anunnaki Illuminati hierarchy, you know, of monarchies and exploitative financial and banking bloodlines that go back up to 280,000 years that have exploited humanity for that long. That is what is going to have a cataclysm over, you know, in our current banking and financial system, which is debt-based for the exploitation and imprisonment of humanity. That is what is going to fall over the foreseeable future. Not necessarily these natural cataclysms, which ethical upper-dimensional ETs say that they're going to intervene to forestall.
Yeah, I think, Alfred, that we could all agree that the consciousness has got to radically change, and the main way it's going to change on this planet is if you change the institutions, you change the infrastructure, you change the values of the people, so that the focus is more of a spiritual nature. Certainly, you know, the infrastructure is set up so that, you know, from their first breath to the last, people are chasing the dollar all their life, more than anything else. And now it's becoming, you know, more clear to more people what human life is all about, that it's about knowing oneself as God, Goddess, the infinite, incarnate in a physical body. And that if that is truly the case, then why don't we devise a society that is geared towards assisting people in achieving that realization through the institutions, through the values, whatever. And so if we're going to achieve that, then everything has to, you know, the current system has got to be turned upside down. There's no question about that. And I also just wanted to mention, you did mention the Pleiades and the Mayas say that our solar system is our sun is the eighth star of the Pleiadian system, and apparently they have always been looking over us, the Pleiadians, and sending missionaries down here to assist humanity. And this being that I just mentioned, this Sanat Gumara, this peacock angel, whatever you want to call him, according to one tradition, he is a Pleiadian. And so he is here guiding humanity to a more spiritualized a scenario in the future. And so we have the Pleiadians, apparently, that are looking over us and will continue to look over us until we have been successful in eradicating so much of this negativity on the Earth.
Right, right. So somehow, for me, and perhaps this is a subjective feeling, but I think that with the recitation of three studies, the Edgar Cayce, the the 1971 probe, and then the 2010 remote viewing probe, that there is a showing there for an alternative timeline, and for alternatives like, you know, maybe it is all a part of the grays, and that we are really moving toward not a cataclysmic opening of the fifth world as the Mayans came out with a year ago. That's a projection into a cataclysmic future, but rather as the extraterrestrial civilizations are saying, that they are going to intervene so that this does not occur. And that is the positive timeline.
Yes, I tend to gravitate to that particular belief system, and it's one that I am holding in my consciousness, and it's the one that I'm definitely an advocate, a proponent of, for anybody these days that are on the Gnostic path, which are most of the people that I am involved with myself, our goal is to simply keep ourselves open in every moment, so that because things are changing, and so we'll know if we keep ourselves open, we'll get the guidance. We'll know what we need to do when the time arrives. And I have my teacher, Mata Amritananda Mai, who's considered to be the one of the greatest saints on the planet, and she's one of these people with these amazing powers, apparently. She tells everybody, she tells her disciples, she says, don't focus on the future. Just be in the moment. Just be in the moment. That's what's important, you know. Keep yourself open and be in the moment. And this kind of agrees with what we're talking about, because, you know, there is a continual change happening on different dimensions, and who can say today what's going to happen tomorrow? Even, you know, you've got to be totally immersed in the present moment. But so one thing I wanted to ask you, Alfred, is the exopolitics, that apparently that came out of a positive scenario that you foresaw for the future, right?
Yes, yes. If, like any dynamic, there are manipulatory extraterrestrial, manipulatory and predatory extraterrestrial civilizations that are part of the mix. However, the vision that the ethical upper dimensional ETs provide is one of a positive future, and that's one that they in recent interactions starting in 2010 have provided specifically for these coming challenges for the year 2012 forward. And people can go to exopolitics.com, just click on Galactic Governance, and it'll take you right to the articles and the interviews.
Well, maybe we can have you on again in the future, Alfred, so we can talk specifically about exopolitics. Unfortunately, our time seems to have come to a close now. But thank you so much for coming on today, and we had a nice chat about future scenarios, and very interesting. And those of you that may have come in to the conversation within the last hour or so, Alfred will be a speaker at our 2012 conference here in Sedona, which you can learn all about at www.2012sedona.com. So again, Alfred, thank you very much, and you know, let's get together again and have another interesting conversation.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that's our show for today, and sorry about the technical difficulties, and we will try to do better in the future. You know, there's a lot of influences out there that don't want certain information to be disseminated, and apparently we were maybe stepping on their toes today. I don't know, but hopefully that'll be a scenario in the future that will be more of a positive scenario. Okay, well, thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you again soon. So bye for now.